All right. My sound was off, so hopefully I'm hearing everything. So, continuing on this topic and why it's such an important topic, because man has done once again what we were not supposed to do. We've have labeled this on our own. We have made it meaningless, and we don't realize that you can't be a fool and be a Christian. All right. We've made it such a meaningless title, and not realizing I have to check myself to make sure I'm not it. Because if I am it, then I'm doomed. Okay. It's you're either a fool or you're wise. Christians are to be wise. Okay. Don't let the f world fool you and think there's a, a select few people that are wise and the rest of us are stupid. No, we have full access to wisdom through God. Human wisdom is actually flawed, and human wisdom is dangerous in a sense. That's why he tells us not to pursue it in a sense. In fact, if you are that worldly wise, we need to get away from it. Most of the damage that has been done to the church is because we've handed it over to very worldly, brilliant people to remold it, and then we followed them. Okay, and we're hoping to get away from that. So let's pay attention to that. So we started off as a review to see that the Bible not only provides us what we need to protect us from others and for us to help others, but for us to first check us to help us first. That's the whole remove the plank. If we did that more, you'd realize the way we talk about others, we're very foolish in judging them and not seeing the flaws in us. When we have access to the way, and we keep leaning upon what we think and how we see it, it's just as foolish, or equally as foolish as the others out there. There is no worldly standard that God's going, well, at least that standard's good. His word tells us that, but we tend to still hold on to those things. But though we are never to call anybody a fool on our own, because it's so important to know when you really are. We do need to recognize when somebody is a fool. And the part that hurts, like many other things that the Bible shows us, is when we go out and define in our own way who's a fool. One, it makes us a fool. Okay. And secondly, we may miss out on those that really are. As you grow up and you notice people and how we esteem certain people, we put them up on high, and how we really respect them. And then when you really look at them based on what God says, making righteous judgments based on what God says, and you see people saying, this is a great man, I want to listen to this study, I want to listen to this ideology, do we really understand what we're doing? The Bible says for us to stay away from a foolish man. So I gotta know what that is in order to stay away. We have to understand that fools are incapable of having wise conversations. So you have to know what the difference is between a wise conversation and foolish conversations. Fools walk blindly. They'll do stuff by feeling, by what somebody says. In a nutshell, the fool in their foolishness is very dangerous. I loved what that Proverb 17 said. Better a to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly. Okay? But we get caught up in that. Fool's purpose displays their disbelief in God. So it's not them just saying they don't believe in God. When it says the fool says in his heart, you're going to notice his purpose. And this goes for those people that say, hey, I serve God. And then you see these other elements in their lives because that is called corruption. Go back into Titus. And Titus, explains that to us, that a pure sees everything as pure. Right? That means if I add anything to what God says, I become a fool. And that's what he's showing. And we see more of that today. And this is why people struggle with what the Bible says when it comes to my human beliefs. We must redirect them, and I'm talking about fools, from their foolishness. So when it says don't answer him according to his folly, don't bring yourself down to his level. This is why we must be spiritual and answer a fool as his folly deserves. You don't give them an excuse to be foolish. You don't give them a pass on being foolish. You want to help them from being foolish. So then we asked, what defines a fool or foolishness? And we started off seeing that focusing on their perception and become angry when you do not. This is a big way of noticing it. Now, the emotions are going to be there because our flesh is foolish, right? Our flesh is foolish. So if you're following your flesh, a feeling, a point of view, it's foolish. I don't care how brilliant you make it sound, you're setting yourself up. Okay, the fool, and when you see it in their emotions too, that's why it says a fool shows his annoyance at once. They follow self wisdom, and fools live in a fairy tale as if it's reality. They truly think they're brilliant. They'll tell you they're brilliant, and you know how smart they are, and how come you don't think they're as smart as they are. That's where we last left off. Now, fools work harder, not smarter. So now you watch their actions and how they do things. They don't sit back and go, okay, how do I do this? They just work, and I'm a hardworking man, blah, 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 so on and so forth, instead of realizing. So did you think that through? You understand? Ecclesiastes 10, verse 15 says, a fool's work wearies him. He does not know the way to town. It's showing the basic things that he should know because he just does it. He just dives in. There's a term that's not in the Bible, but this kind of fits that, where it says fools rush in, and it's because they just do before they think. And sometimes they'll do and they'll mess up. And you've heard my stories of when I used to put things together because I just wanted to get it done, but it made my job that much harder and that much longer. Because when I found out, oh, I didn't do this, now I got to take it all apart and I got to do. And all of us have those foolish ways and those foolish times, and we end up using more energy than we should have. But God gave us the ability for that not to happen. Fools also provoke instead of speaking knowledge. Have you ever had these conversations? And instead of somebody really listening and talking about it, they mock you, they talk over you, they yell, they go, oh, see, I told you, I told you. You know, we get those people. And once again, they do that because it's foolish. Instead of realizing, what if I'm wrong? I want to know. You know what I mean? I want to talk to you. When it says in Proverbs 27:3, stone is heavy and sand is burden, but provocation by a fool is heavier than both. They just overwhelm you with foolishness to where you can't have a conversation. Do you know what I mean? And we're at the point, and I hate to say it, if I'm hard to talk to about something, I'm foolish. I should be able to listen to everybody about anything and know how to deal with it if it's wrong. When I put the quotes up, please make sure we know what right is. God gave us the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So everything I deal with must be fully biblical. Now, when you come with this human logic that sounds, seems, feels good, and I go with that, fool. Crazy as that sounds. And it is as simple as I got to take the patience to listen to people. There are times in my flesh, and I'm sure a lot of us experience this. When somebody's talking, I'm feeling like, okay, listen up, let me talk. You know what I mean? And if I would go with that, I become a fool. I'm almost worthless to that person and can actually harm that person in my speaking because I'm not taking into consideration, Keith, are you quick to listen? Are you really taking in what that other person is saying? And secondly, what a fool does is they see it through their own understanding. Right? If you say something and I think it's foolish, immediately I'm like, oh, that person's so stupid. You understand that? And there's a lot of people that we probably passed up in our lives, we ignored because we always think, I know what I'm talking about. You understand that? And the only time, and I'm saying we would never do it in that way, the only time we know it's correct versus somebody else is if what they're saying is totally opposite of God. But you still listen to see where you're going, you understand it, and then you can say, let me show you what scripture says. But when it's a debate between you two, it's just two fools, as the Bible shows, trying to show foolishness and just different flavors of it. So it's one of the worst things to happen. That's why I'm saying, you know, the heaviness and the burden is what it does. When you're trying to explain to a fool and they're too busy holding on to ideologies that are wrong, holding on to how they see things, and there's too many of that that exists. In this terrible time, that exists in such a big way. And this is why it's so easy for us to choose any of the foolish paths and somehow justify it. Yelling and over talking instead of quality conversation, as it shows in Proverbs 29:9. If a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs, and there is no quiet. They just try to overwhelm you. You know what I mean? They try to. I've been in the middle of those in which, you know, you just start yelling at them, you start going at them. And I had to be careful. Even when I was younger, I probably did that same thing too, but I had to really watch that in which you just overwhelm them. And in order to distract, right? I'm not changing. I don't want to do it. It's just something you can't have a wise conversation. You can't go over something that you both disagree with. And this, you rarely see this in disputable matters, because in disputable matters, what does he say about it? Show how mine is more right than yours? No, I have to respect yours. It has nothing to do with my salvation and within God. Understand what true disputable matters are. That's in Romans 14. I'm going to respect yours. Respect means exactly that, right? If you don't want to eat meat, amen. I'm not going to force it upon you, and I'm not going to make you feel bad. If we have a discussion and you want to ask me, well, this is why I do it, and you'll go, well, this is why I do it. I may even have more biblical foundation, as you said, the person who had weaker faith chose not to eat meat in basically honoring God, but it doesn't harm our salvation. I could say, well, the Bible says this, this, and this here, but I'd leave it at that, right? So we understand it, we respect them, and we know it's not, has nothing to do with our salvation, but we still show that love and that respect for others. Too many times we think we're so right. When somebody else does it different, we just shake our head. They're so stupid. You understand that? And the minute we do that, we become fools. Fools are easily swayed because they believe anything. The, of course, most successful business, trillion-dollar industry, is advertisement. It works, plain and simple. It has always worked. Why do you think they throw it in anything? I know some people are like, ain't nobody gonna watch it, blah, blah, blah. If they get just enough of you seeing it, that's why even on these videos, if you ever see in TikTok, YouTube, things of that sort, they want to throw some sort of commercial in there. Just give me something. And it's surprising how things can grab our minds. You can't stop that part of it. You drive down the street, things will advertise. In fact, just somebody driving another car, you have been advertised to. However, the wise know that, right? Well, you'll hear a foolish person go, oh, it doesn't bother me at all. No, I'm not easily swayed. You know what I mean? Instead of realizing, no, man, I think we all been suckered one way or another, either with an item, in a relationship, for a way of life. Telling you, how do I know that? Because we didn't start acting like Christians in the beginning. There wasn't that wisdom. He shows that in Proverbs 14, verse 15. He says, a simple man believes anything. Didn't say everything, but you can get them, right? Because somehow they're going to go into their own thoughts. They're going to think they're able to discern things, while a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps. And what makes him prudent? He's always going, be wrong, let me assess. And they're always going to assess with God, right? I get surrounded by these people that just think they know and they get scammed. It just comes in different forms. So be careful before you knock somebody that looks like they get scammed for buying something. Because I'm sure you got scammed in some other item, and maybe are not knowing it. Some don't even realize that they're being scammed, and they continue to be scammed. Now, the reason why God's not going to allow you to play the victim is because he warned you, right? If I buy somebody's book and I love what they did and I start following their things and it's not based on God, no better for you. But no, it really worked and I really tried. No better for you when the word already explained to me the foundation of wisdom and things like that, right? If I look at it as advice, once again, under disputable matters, I'm always going to adjust it and see what I'm doing with God, right? Not an interference. It's just something I could do. It has nothing, I'm always assessing it through that. That's what we have to say. But the minute I use it as a side, because I can assure you, we have certain ways we've grown up. We have certain politics we have fallen. We have certain ideals we believed in. Our families gave us traditions. How many of us can only say, honestly say, I let go of all of them to truly follow God? Now, I bet you a bunch of us say it, but watch a person. Watch a person, how they dress, how they talk, how they act. Do you understand that? Right? There's this thing I was talking to my wife because there's this thing that comes on one of the online things about etiquette. They were talking about how to hold the knife and how to cut the meat and how they and all that stuff. And now to me, because it's meaningless, ridiculous. But you get some people go, no, that means something. You see, and they mean it. And me saying it's ridiculous is one way, and them saying another, you know that it means something. The whole thing is foolish. It's vanity. Right? And one reason why I can call it ridiculous is I can't see the godliness in it. Right? I'm doing something that man told me, if you do this, it shows that you're this. None of it is godly. But you still have people that do it, certain ways they dress, certain ways they do things, because we believe it. We allow somebody to say, if you do it this way, you're better. If you do it this way, you're crazy. And we accepted that. And people still do that today. Certain things we wouldn't get caught with doing, you know what I mean, because of what traditions say. But a prudent man sits there and goes, what does that have to do with anything? Seriously, what does that have to do with anything? Now, fools, I remember when I was younger, I got to throw this out there because I still remember this. And as a young kid, do you remember? And I don't know if that rule is still out. I don't do it either which way. Do you? And I think it's with shoes. You're not supposed to wear the color white shoes after a certain time, right? And people would go with that to wear. And I remember as a young man, it was a group of us. It was men and or young men and young women. And I asked that question, why? And I remember just like that whole thing where they talk about you and they this and that and they made you. And I felt stupid. I ain't gonna lie, but that was my question. You know, I was inquisitive about everything. And I just said, but why? What's the reasoning behind that? Why is that right or not right? Now you get the one person, yeah, you can wear whatever you want. The other person, yeah, they're not going to be around me. And it was funny because I was sincere of give me the reason. And that's what we're supposed to do. You understand that? That like the humble, like the little children. But we get convinced because somebody convinced us this is right. Show me in the Bible. You know what I mean? And that's just an example of what we have to stop. And if you assess half the stuff that we believe in, we would kick ourselves and say how foolish we are. I just wanted to give that because I always bring me back to that because I remember that time felt so stupid. And also, fools do not assess situations and they pay for it because they don't assess situations. They mistake foolishness for fearlessness. I remember years ago in the church, we had this discussion. Of if I'm driving down the street, we used it as a young woman by herself driving down the street and saw a man, and he looked like he was far away from somebody. Do I pick him up and I drive him somewhere? It was excellent conversation, but I think where they mistaked it is because some churches just go, I pick him up and take him there. I'm not scared because the Lord. And then I had to do the there's a order my steps for a Bible study that we did on foolishness versus wisdom, because a lot of stuff that wisdom says. Today in the world, people will call cowardice while you're being a fool. There's certain avenues you shouldn't take to where people would go, no, I'm going to do this or that, right? I don't care. I'm going to walk up that alley by myself. The Lord will protect me. And God was like, I did protect you. I told you not to walk up that alley. You know what I mean? I'm giving you the wisdom of would that be wise for me to walk up there? But we tend to then add our own feelings and redirect what God is really saying. And getting outside his protection, right? That's why when we got in the conversation, when we talked about medicine and stuff like that, instead of us recognizing how it works, you got to make a decision, pray to God, and then you got to take whatever comes with it, right? I don't make and bunch everything into one thing. I have to recognize, okay, what does God say about this? And on certain things, I got to do and trust in him and whatever happens and go with it, okay? But I know we like to think he's going to protect us our way. He's going to protect us our way. Even we as parents, we teach our kids to look both ways before they cross the street. That means I can't be there every single time to cross the street with them, right? So that instruction that I'm giving them is their protection. Now, if they just run across the street without looking both ways, saying, my parents are going to protect me, we would see that as foolish. What were you doing? But do we ever think about this stuff? It shows in Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man, watch this, sees danger and takes refuge. What is it? It doesn't say a prudent man sees danger and say, I don't care, the Lord's going to protect me. But do you see how we add stuff that sounds spiritual, people don't check, and now you got a bunch of people doing this, and they're still going into danger. But a prudent man assesses a situation. Now, I'm not driving that way. I'm not going that way. I see it's going to storm, so I'm not going that way. You understand? If you hear, it always gets me when you hear these weather reports happening and major snow coming. I'm not talking about squalls that sneak up on you, but you know something's coming and it's going to be a lot of snow or ice or whatever, and people still go out. I don't get it. I understand there's certain ones that have to. I'm not talking about in every case, but there's some that. So why didn't you wait till tomorrow? Why are you going today? And that's the part of did you truly assess or did you just take your chance? All right? And it says, but the simple. Keep going and suffer for it. And what this is implying is that simple person saw that same danger. But I'm good. We have a lot of that. And the problem is when I say I'm good and it works, we think, see, do you understand this? Right? See? So I'm going to keep going to danger because nothing happened to me this time. While God is saying, the prudent man goes, why am I even putting myself in that position? There's a lot of stuff that would not happen to us if we used wisdom. Christians have access to this statement, but not all Christians use it. This goes for not just going somewhere. This goes for decisions you're going to make. This goes for money things. This goes for things that you do when it comes to medicines and just everything you think of. You'll stop and you'll go, oh, I'm not going to do that. Right? There was a guy in a relationship, and he was, he joked a lot. And he picked on, and there was this one way he would get his wife real mad. He knew it got her mad. So in it, he just kept saying, "Why doesn't she understand? I'm just joking." Do you understand that? And that's, and there's a thing in Proverbs that says something about that, doing something and saying, I'm joking, is not actually something a Christian should do. But anyway, the process is he went through years of not just realizing, why don't you just not do that? You have to do that. All right? Maybe it shouldn't bother her, but why are you doing it? Right? It sounds, simple. But no, we keep going into those same things. The simple keep going and suffer for it. And Proverbs 27:12 says the same thing. So we want to watch that. So that's why the question comes up. If I walk into busy traffic or walk off a ledge, is that fearless or foolishness? And why? I mean, if you're so fearless and you're so brave, how would you approach a house cat the same way you would approach a lion or vice versa? All right? They're both cats, somebody would say. And people, there are people out there that have that mentality. There are people who have gone in the wilderness, and their reverence, there is a human reverence we have in the Lord to understand the dangerous situation. I'm not talking about the overall reverence, revering God, but there is a fear we lack in situations because we don't assess. And we do crazy things, and then we mess ourselves up. And there's a lot that do it. And because it worked, look at me, and it works. Fools look at the outcome they see and not what God says. And this is what really hurts fools today, because fools still go on the, I did it and it worked. All right? They still have that mindset. Psalm 92, 6 through 7 says, the senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand. In other words, they don't put the time into knowing what does God say about this. That though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. Christians, you have Christians down here, and it's a huge epidemic because there's a ton of people that claim Christianity and obviously are not. And you'll even have some Christians going, well, right? Why can we completely and clearly say that person's not Christian? Because the Bible says it. You'll know them by their fruit, right? So we got a whole lot of rotten fruit. I mean, very easy to see, and we'll give the, well, especially if we like the people or the person. There are organizations that immediately, when you hear their agenda, they are not godly. We still go, well, we still give some sort of support. I told you, for any, and this is throughout the entire world, not just the United States, any political system, the challenge is bring it back. And if you can solidly show me through sound doctrine, this is a Christian ideology or policy, I'm behind it. It has not been, it has not happened, and it will not. The Bible doesn't show of a true godly system that's out there other than what God put in place. The Israelites messed that up. But do you see how this works, okay? And we tend to not understand, not because we don't have access to understanding, it's because we try to do it through our own understanding. There's a lot of things out there that I like when I hear, and this is what scares me. And I'm going, man, I really like that. Ooh, that scares me. That's saying, Keith, if you didn't lean upon God, you would follow that, which is still wrong. And there's a lot of wrong going on in the world that we just cling on to, and we continue going through it. Holy do. And like you said, they will be forever destroyed. You know what that's pushing to, and that's a prophecy towards hell. They're saying they're going to hell. Don't look at them and say, man, but they're doing well. You got people that, in world senses, are happy, comfortable, they have it all. If they lived 200 years, subtract that from infinity, did they do well? Think about that, because infinity, that's forever, they're going to hell. Forever destroyed. To let that sink in is something that we don't do, because the eyesight is, well, I did this and it worked. And I'm Christian. God's not as impressed as us, and I'm not going to defend somebody just saying they're Christian, because I could put a lot of people in danger. And I've seen people do that. There are times I've gone to people and I've been with them, and they'll say, oh, yes, those are the, and guess what? He's a Christian. And then you hear them talk. You're like, oh. Right? It's like, oh. And here's and you have some just because they say they're Christian, now they want you to follow them and do everything. And that's why we're all mixed up, because we allow somebody to say what they are, while Jesus tells us himself what that's going to look like. He says, my righteous ones will live by faith. And you watch this person living by all this other junk. And you're just like, wait a minute. And that should be our protection. But we still foolishly go after what we think. His stupidity will be evident. And it's funny because the Bible uses that. Ecclesiastes 10, 2 through 3. The heart of the wise inclines to the right. In other words, to do what is correct. They always want to do. That doesn't mean you won't feel and desire. It'll just go, this doesn't go right with God. Don't ever think. I know some people like to walk around and their thoughts are always so pure. No, every human being, because you're flesh, and the Bible says so, you're going to have some warped feelings. May not be as warped to that person next to you or whatever, but it's one of those of you're going to have thoughts, you're going to have desires. The heart or the purpose of the wise always thinking about God. So how's this going to work with God? Where is this going to go with God? Right? It says, but the heart of the fool to the left is one of those of I'm going to still do this. They're going to do what Eve did. Well, I don't see anything wrong with this and that, and whatever, and however they want to do it. It's one of those in which they're going to try to find loopholes, a reason to. You understand that? And they'll still, God doesn't mind if, God doesn't care if, God understand. We'll make excuses because we'll lack reverence. Right? And that's why it says, even as he walks along the road, watch this, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is. Here's the problem. The majority fall into this. Pastor, why are you calling everybody stupid? No. Pay attention. A lot of stuff, a lot of trends, a lot of ways down here, we all can hopefully agree they're not biblical, but we're doing them. Now, stupidity becomes normal and acceptable. You understand that? Okay? I remember years ago, and I know man made a lot of this up. There's certain things on TV you couldn't say, they didn't show, they didn't do. And if anybody slipped through the door, you're like, oh, did you see or did you hear what they said? Now they do everything on television, say everything on television, and there's no more shock value. You're just like, Right? No, okay. All right? You'd make a sailor blush with some of the shows that come on regular television. And that's the thing about it, because they now say anything. Offensive, and we just kind of, oh well, you understand that. Now, I'm not saying go back to where man set those standards, because man, I think he's really met, man has messed that up. Now, I think man has messed that up. But the problem is, when I'm desensitized, it no longer looks stupid. No longer looks stupid. And there's a lot of stupidity that you see men who are supposed to be Christians supporting. Explain that. How can we do that? Unfortunately, we have normalized stupid by trusting in self and trusting in man. That's how we do it. Proverbs 28, 26 is, he who trusts in himself is a fool. Now let that sink in, because I don't think we realize it, because we'll go, amen. But then we'll go, no, I really believe. No, I really think. You know what I really feel? Hey, when I went through that, I didn't have no problem with that. Oh man, I really had a problem. I. Why is he saying it's a fool? Because he showed us from the beginning we fail. We give in to what we desire instead of what God says. What did Adam and Eve do? Saw. They seen. Assessed by themselves. What did Jesus do? It is written. See the difference? And we may say we see the difference, but we still don't do it. We still make human assessments, and then we'll tell people, please pray for me. And you go, what am I praying for? You didn't do what he said, right? I'm ignoring what he says based on how I feel, because I think I'm highly valued and, favored, and you are, as long as you stay within that favor and understand even what that means. But we get caught up in us. But watch the opposite of a person who trusts themselves. He who walks in wisdom is kept safe. So you'll recognize, even when you desire something, when you think you know something, you're even going to more so check with God. And please don't mess it up by just saying I'll pray about it, because prayer is worthless if it's not based on God's word. Do you understand that? If I just have this, because I prayed about it, I made it right, but you're still ignoring him, what was that prayer for? Right? You can ask a million people to pray for you and they're praying for you, but if you ignore it, what good is it? And the same thing with people. If we can get a wise person in front of us, you know what I mean? I'm glad I stumble. I'm glad I forget. I'm glad I do what I do because I know everyone, anybody look at me as the wise person. I grew up with that. I grew up with certain people in my life, only to look back, and they could have destroyed my life if I would have followed what they said because they said stuff that sound brilliant. It says in Psalm 146, verse 3, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. Makes it, the command is very clear. And why you to use princes first? Sometimes when a person gets in a political or a higher position, immediately we sign them off as brilliant. And then sometimes, man, they're not sometimes, some of the most foolish decisions and things, and we go after. We look in awe to them. But just right down to it, mortal men. If I'm speaking spiritually, the only thing I want you to see is God. That's it. Right? I want you to see me, the God in me displaying him. That's it. The minute you see, well, because he studies, he knows how to speak this, he knows how to do that, and I start kicking Keith Smith wisdom, you're all in danger if you're following. We're all in danger. Fools live in complacency, and that's another thing we tend to do. Do we really ask a situation to see what's going on, or do we just kind of, oh, I'm good? You know what I mean? If it's not bothering me, or do we truly assess the situation? Now, I'm going to show you what this means. Ecclesiastes 4, 5 to 6. The fool folds his hands and ruins himself. You're like, well, so pastor, is it wrong to fold your hands? No, that's implying where I'm good. But did I ask how everybody else was doing? Did I ask, how's this going to affect me later? Did I really check the whole entire thing? Am I in God's word to be in God's word, or am I in God's word to see my situation? There was a person that was so caught up in what they think they should be doing. They thought their walk in God was supposed to be this extravagant, great thing, and they had to build this. But in their setting right now, if they were to die, that was their lot in life. And were they checking with God? Okay, how do I do this? How am I in my marriage when my kids are this age? How about when they're this age? How am I at this job? If I love the job or if I don't like the job, how am I with my health? How am I surrounded by these people? It could be 100 people versus 5 people. Am I checking with God on everything, or am I just going, I'm good? Right? And how are people seeing me? Am I assessing everything? And we don't because here's the problem. And if we're being honest, most humans don't because I might hear, I have to move. Right? I was comfortable. Now I got to do what? I got to change the heat. I gotta, right? Because I don't want to hear it because I'm good. Now I'm all in when I don't like it. So do you see what the key denomination is? Me. And that's what Satan does with us. That's why he makes clear better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. The reason why stress, depression, any of that anxiety really exists in man today is because of what we allow our desires to lead in our lives, how we want people to be, how we want outcomes to be. So we chase after it to hopefully get that, I want this. And especially when it turns out, you don't hear people who get rich who go, okay, wait a minute. I'm in a very, very sensitive spot in my life. I cannot be defined as rich. No, you'll hear them all of a sudden turn to the trend and to the the whole doctrine of where they think I'm supposed to be rich and I'm highly favored, and they'll live in it as if, man, I so deserve this. Not realizing, he said, it is harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to make it through the kingdom of heaven. And then throughout time, what ministers have done instead of reading, no, he's talking about a needle. An actual needle. They were like, no, this means the arch in this way. This means this needle over here. We've done everything to make sure I can be rich and enjoy my riches. But even if we didn't go off of that one, he gives us so many things on it. If you're not careful, it's going to be the thing to pull you away. It's going to give you false comfort. And you are going to use it instead of living this fear into God of, I have this, I am petrified of it making my decisions. But we don't have that, right? That's how you ruin themselves. That's why he's saying better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls. Right? Some people have so much, and that's where their comfort is. Oh, they'll go to church, but it's that I have, and I look until markets crashes, until the stuff you have is worthless, until your health is not what you thought it was, until you're not as great as you thought you were. A lot of people lean upon the riches of having and become complacent instead of every day going, I could lose all this tomorrow. God, what do you want me to do with it today? And it's a very important question. But we love the way of a fool. Very complacent, very passive. And he makes clear, for the fool, things concerning God will not be based on God. You hear them say some of the worst things. Isaiah 32, verse 6 says, for the fool speaks folly. Plain and simple. They'll hear. I had somebody who said it to me today, and I had to try to break it to them very lightly on how they spoke of God, on what God wouldn't allow, and this and that. And they were adamant about it. You could hear them preaching. And I was quiet, and I remember the comment had to come back to where she was saying, so is that right? And I'm like, I'm gonna show you what the Bible says on what you just said. And I gave her a couple of verses, and it was just silence. And then I remember then the spin was, well, I believe. Do you understand that? Okay. And it's folly, and I'm going after it. And if nobody knows any better, it would sound like it came straight from the Bible, and people would have followed it. It says his mind is busy with evil. The problem with this is when you hear the word evil, you immediately think, oh, but that was godly what they were speaking. If it's not of God, it's evil. That's why it says Satan disguises himself as an angel of light because he wants to portray good even when it's not good. And we just catch on because they'll say certain key words and we're like, hallelujah, praise God, and we'll follow things. Instead of having my mind meditating on the word of God. It says he practices ungodliness. And this is talking about people who want to give off the image of, right? I saw this one guy doing, and you hear this all the time, but I saw it where he, whatever work he was doing was some government type work, and they asked and they put the question out there. He was saying, this guy's doing God's work. And like I was saying, and I feel bad, my heart goes out for him, but as a pastor, I got to tell the truth because we make some people think if they go out to war and they come back, they're going to heaven. Many believe that, many preach that. That we do give them respect on what they did, but we need to preach on, do you understand? Are you in the right of God when you make these decisions? When I go into law enforcement, do you understand? If I kill, he's not going to go, you were just doing your job. If I killed, my reverence would be, man, it's going to be the last, it has to be the last thing I'd rather die than kill somebody out of air. We know what the Bible says about murder, but no, we today, we kind of give a pass. Do you understand this? Okay. There's a lot of stuff we get into that in our minds, give me a pass. I meant well. And he didn't do it to us, so why do you think he's doing it to us? So he, when it says he practiced ungodliness, we'll say statements in the sense of instead of realizing, is this really godly what was done? Right. And I'm talking about Christians here. And it goes on and says, and spreads error concerning the Lord. A lot of pamphlets, a lot of books, a lot of ideology that people are following until somebody simply goes, can you show me that in the Bible? Simple, but nobody does that. We take it, we run with it. Get it? Exactly how we do it. It says, the hungry he leaves empty, and from the thirsty he withholds water. He doesn't even realize how he's harming people, trying to be his version of godly. Better get that part right. Okay? Godliness comes from God. Reverence makes me check it. But foolishness makes it up along the way. Questions?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing, sis?
Okay, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
In that context, that last scripture where you said about the hungry and the thirsty, what's the difference in what they're both seeking?
Just the last one I just went over? No, I'm saying, is that what you're asking? Yeah. So what he's saying is that person, because now they're going out and they think they want to make you think what I'm doing is godly, while in reality, the people that I'm responsible for helping, I'm actually harming them. It says the hungry he leaves empty, and the thirsty he withholds water. Well, I want you to think what I'm doing for you is great, and it's going to really help you. But the question is it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I was just wondering, what's the difference? Well, between hungry and thirsty, because they're both seeking food or
Got
food
it.
and drink. Yeah.
When he splits them up like that, of course, and you see it even when we received, with Christ being the living water and the food of the manna and stuff like that, it's all sustenance. But he's putting emphasis on these things are what gives us our physical life, and we get the spiritual aspect of it. In this case, he's just putting emphasis on the whole process of those you're really supposed to be looking out for, you're really harming them. And so he kind of really split up. That's my take on it, because the Bible is very common in splitting those up. He doesn't just go sustenance all the time. You usually go food or drink. So that's what I'm getting out of it.
So I'm talking about food on 1 Corinthians 6:13, and the edition that I was reading, I think it's the NLT, and I can't remember what the sentence was, but then at the end of the sentence it says, someday God will do away with both the stomach and food. And so I was wondering if that's literal, because when you look at was it Revelations 22:2 and Ezekiel 47:12 and some other ones, it talks about the banquet, talks about eating food and things like that. So what are they talking about there?
So whatever our bodies, our transformed bodies will be, we won't need digestion. We won't need that whole aspect. He's going to do away with that. Now, it's showing that we'll still be able to enjoy food. When Jesus came back, he sat with them and he ate with them, he drank with them. You know what I mean? But it wasn't something he needed to do. All right? And I think that's what it's showing. Now, for us to go deep and understand it, it doesn't give us enough. I can make up something and I don't want to do that. But that's where we end up doing, knowing that, okay, this verse said, just like you did, that that aspect is going to be gone, because what our stomachs are here for. What's the purpose of our stomach? It's for digestion. But if he's saying he's doing away with that, whatever we have now, it's probably just the enjoyment part. I'll probably be able to eat ice cream every single day
I hope so. Me too.
and not pay for it. Then that stomach comes into play, and then everybody pays. But do you understand how
Yeah.
that works? So yeah, and I think it's just giving us a hint to what enjoyment still exists. It's still you won't. There is still nothing where you can gather in the whole Bible where it gives you a full picture of what that's going to be. We get hints of things. I still think a part of that too is if we're going to be careful and not run with it, which we tend to do, and add to it. And that's why you get books on certain things and they'll add to it, and that can be dangerous. So, but yeah, so, but it's showing the digestion aspect's not needed because he's our life. You understand that? We won't need to eat. So it seems like it's just going to be for enjoyment.
So we talk about, everybody says, well, when we go to heaven, or this was, we go to heaven, that sort of thing. So is going to heaven, trying to think out the question, get the question right. Is everybody's not going to heaven? Is it just the people who die before Christ return, and then the people in the millennium, or be in the New Jerusalem, or both?
So you have to kind of, I got them putting all this complex stuff in one small package here, and then we could talk about each of them. So currently, you have two frames of thoughts, of course. When a person dies, there's the one frame of thought, which the Bible can, you can use the Bible to kind of support, of the ones who die go into a holding hell, and the ones who live. Before, when Jesus was here, we're taken into this other part. That's what they call Abraham's bosom. And then they were taken up to heaven by Jesus. Sounds great. Bible kind of supports that. There's holes in that. Then you get the other one where the Bible kind of supports, no, when everybody dies, it's soul sleep until judgment. Okay, so they're all asleep. A lot of the cults really clung on to that. But the bad thing about it, there's support for that in the Bible. So that exists in there as well. The hard part is you don't have any verses of once a person is in heaven right now, what's happening? People make stuff up. I know my mom's looking down on me. I know. And then people look forward to when I go back up there, I'm going to be back together with my spouse, even though the Bible says there will not be marriage. There's a lot of confusion in that. Now, what you're saying is true because it's the New Jerusalem is coming down to here, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
Right.
it implies we'll still have access to heaven, but we'll live down here. It's just complex on how it's not defined. Nope, nobody will go to heaven. It doesn't necessarily say that. And we kind of, when we say heaven, we're talking about the kingdom of God. That's the biggest part of it. The access of where we'll be and how that'll be is still kind of fuzzy. So people have taken pieces of it and ran with it.
Okay, so you're saying we'll be in his kingdom, a part of the kingdom.
And it can, we definitely know it's going to be on the new earth. We also know there's an access to heaven. Even when, like when John went up to the third heaven, you know what I mean? And okay, why? And is it, was it just a momentary thing for him or where? So things like that, they're questions that become fuzzy and we can get real caught up in them because they're not very important, but they're very interesting. Just be careful, you know, with it. The whole concept of heaven and hell and things of that sort can cause a confusion and end up being a distraction instead of going, okay, I'm getting this out of it. How does this sound? You know what I mean? But that's why we also got to be careful because even when I officiate funerals, I have to be careful not just saying they're going home. You know what I mean? Because one, that's me making a judgment, and I could mislead a lot of people sitting in the congregation. Did they accept Christ? How's it is? Because right now we say everybody, and we want to make everybody feel comfortable, and we could be really misleading them. So that the whole concept as a whole, we know what we need to get to one or the other. We have full access to that. He's very clear on that. What tends to happen, because even on the aspect of hell, the word destruction, just like I read in the one verse, you have a group of people that mean annihilation. In other words, they feel as though I'm going to go and I'm going to be as if I never were. And there's some support for that. But then you get other verses that support the actual torment with Lazarus and the rich man. And we see in Revelations, I think 20, where it talks about the people who take the mark and what did they say? And it kind of implies that this torment they're going to go through, the smoke of it is going to be there forever and ever. There, we can have conversations about it. Just don't get so caught up in it. You're missing the things that you need to know in order to be on the right path. That's why I say it's conflicts. All of those are little conversations we can have and go over, praise God. But don't let those catch you up on, okay, what are you doing here to go to the right area?
Okay, thank you.
I think, and I just want to let everybody know, last week, Sister Carolyn turned 32, so everybody say happy birthday to her when you get a chance. All right, next question.
I have one.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys? All right. So I
Deacon
know.
Sean turned 17.
Yeah, there it is. That's
This
right.
man, there you go. All right, go ahead, man.
Miss Chancellor turned 18 today too. I
18.
don't know if she
Oh,
gone.
she's. I don't see her. Oh, tell her happy. I got to reach out to her and say happy birthday. Everybody's birthday's around. Okay, go ahead.
I know we're supposed to avoid putting the title fool and acting foolish. What if you're talking and you recognize yourself, you've been being foolish? Is that the same or just stay away from it altogether?
No. It's actually good to state it when it's true. Like he said, the Bible says, stay away from a fool. Where it's wrong is when I label that person a fool. From Keith's own definition, I have no right to do that. Right? But I wouldn't say it out loud because, you know, but you understand that the minute you recognize what a fool is as we're going through it, you'll know now, okay, I gotta back up. What we've done is we've allowed a lot of foolish things to be accepted. Do you know what I mean? And now we don't know the difference. So there's certain people we're calling fools and they're not, and certain people that we're calling brilliant. And I love to be around them and they're so this and they're fools. And based on what the Bible says. And that's why that's so important. So the title of it is just for our protection. And that's why it's saying stop calling them a fool because fools are going to hell. And certain people you may call a fool and mislead a lot of people from that person I wanted to have in their lives, if that makes sense.
Okay, so Aunt Esther's in trouble calling
Aunt
Fred
Esther.
Fish Eyes fool.
Yeah, absolutely. Pray for Aunt Esther, I guess. But that is a problem because we use the word so loosely. You know, put it in songs, we say it about people, and I know it seems like, oh, I just called him a fool. And of course, television has been using it forever because it's not a bad word. Because all the other words that we call cursing is just very offensive. Well, you know, when you tell somebody to go to hell, or when you say damn, or when you say those are the worst because of what you're saying. Do we realize what we're speaking and what we're saying in those sense? And same thing when we is what he's saying when you call somebody a fool. You're labeling them something, and are you sure that's what you're doing, what you're saying about them? Are you taking this very lightly? Other questions?
I have another one then.
All right, shoot.
That too, really. So in the teaching, when you were talking about Romans 2:7 last week, and you were talking, you said it's clear that when you say people getting awards were seeking glory, and as a Christian, that should not be. So Christians should not be. Well, I have my opinion about it. But Christians should not be seeking to be acknowledged at the Grammys and or whatever. They're getting an award with the Gospels, the Dove Awards, and all that stuff because it's vainglory, or it depends on their attitude and accepting it. But I mean, thinking if you're singing for to glorify God, you don't need an award. But that's my opinion. So, is there anything wrong with people, Christians, getting awards if they're not seeking it, for vainglory?
Nothing. Now that you really answered what you're saying. It's not wrong with receiving it, but if that's my purpose, if that's what I'm striving for, that means God is not who I'm. He's not my purpose. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, that even goes for some basic things that people, of course, want because it's for their career. If I'm living to get a raise or to get a promotion, let's say I'm doing that. Now in the world, people go, "That's great," right? No, every person's answer should be, "I'm living to serve the Lord." That means they know on that path to where I could get a promotion or where I could get a raise, I'm focused that I'm never going outside the path or God's will and purpose. He is my true purpose, and these things can happen along the way. Does that make sense? So when they go and they get a Grammy or whatever and all that stuff, that's fine. But if their whole goal was to I'm going to get a Grammy, then I'm going to do this, they have already set their life path and does it really include God? And that's why you see a lot of people that don't even call themselves Christians, and all of a sudden you're like, then why did they do this? How come they did this song? How come they do you know what I mean? They'll add a lot of things along the way. What was her, Amy Grant? You remember her? She so her whole entire thing, she had the family and they loved her and the song that came out and everything about it. And then whatever happened, and then she's now with Vince Gill. And of course people beat them up, and then people say give them a second chance, and the whole entire thing. The thing that breaks your heart is that's the danger of it, because she still divorced her husband, married somebody else. They're still alive. She was a Christian. Does she know the danger behind it? And not just putting her out there, because a lot of us do it because was the goal God? You know what I mean? And so that's the danger. Not that they got a Grammy. It's what was your purpose? And if your purpose was God, oh, by the way, I got a Grammy, that person will go, praise God for this. They'll give God the glory. And that doesn't mean you just get up there and, throw God out there and just say that. It'll be displayed. The humility and everything will be seen. You'll appreciate it, but you'll know it's just some object that you're going to put on a shelf somewhere. But you want His glory. You want them to know and see God in. But you don't want them to say he's a great singer, he's a great this, because it puts too much on you. So yeah, the receiving of the award, not bad if, unless it's my purpose. But that even goes for us simple ones that aren't going to get those awards, just for even getting a raise, getting a job, getting anything. If it means I have to step outside a little bit from God, then I right now my purpose is no longer God. And it brings up when the person was asking me, he was going on an interview and there was something that was happening. He said if they asked me about this, he wanted a way to deceive. Nothing wrong with not saying it if they don't bring it up, but he wanted a way to deceive. They're going to ask me about this, so what do I say? And the answer is you tell the truth in the most loving way. And it's a shame, but if I'm truly trusting in God and I do what I'm supposed to, the doors will open. May not open the way I want them to. But if I got that job because I lied, I stepped outside of God, because nowhere does he justify me lying. And it's, and that's the case. So those basic things was your purpose God? That has to come into play.
My last question. When we were talking about, I can't quite remember, when we were talking about dressing modestly, and so dressing modestly, there is no real clear description of it in the Bible, but it's like what people say is modest. I was having a conversation with, remember Elohim Productions?
I do
And,
remember.
And
No, go ahead.
so he was saying that his daughter was a pastor, which is First Flag. And he has an issue with her, but she doesn't know it yet because when she's preached, she has been preached and she had on clear heels with her feet showing. And I said, well, he said, I said, well, what's wrong with that? And he said, well, you don't know the story where clear heels came from. I said, no. He said, from strippers on poles. And I said, well, I didn't know nothing about that. I said, well, he said, yeah. He said, that's why they started wearing robes, you know, for modesty, for, you know, I guess for women and men. And I said, well, then I said, well, what's the difference with men pastors that wear tight pants? That some people have a problem with that. He said, well, yeah. He said, they shouldn't be doing it either when they're preaching. But if they're not preaching and she's not preaching, it's okay to wear the clear heels. It's because he's saying that when a man looks at, oh, well, I guess if a man's been in that environment and sees this with these clear heels on, they feel some kind of way. So it's why you wear robes and you cover your feet and all this stuff. And I said, well, there's nothing, you know. I just said to him, I just don't understand because I don't know. I don't see that there's anything, you know, wrong with wearing clear heels. But it brought me back to the question about modesty because there's nothing in the Bible that would say you can't wear, you know, certain kinds of shoes or whatever. So that's what I was just seeing if I'm my thought was.
Your thought was 100% right, and it brings a confusion because we allowed man to interject. We allow man to tell us what's sin, and we allow man to tell us what's good. There's a lot of history behind a lot of stuff out there that we allow man to tell you it's demonic and say, "Did you know what this really came from?" And said, "But you're not doing that." Yes, the Bible, when it's speaking of modesty, and the reason why he doesn't give us, "Don't wear this, don't wear that," because you as a person would realize, "What am I trying to portray?" Got where I'm coming from. Do I want to bring attention to me? Do I want to look sexy, if you will? Do I want to in any way entice? You know what your purpose is. Now, that means you're going to do certain things that people may comment on and you'll adjust accordingly. That's modesty. That's why even when he talks about the verse where people try to use where it says the woman's not to wear braided hair and wear the earrings or the jewelry and so on and so forth. But if you notice the thing it replaces it with character. You mean it doesn't say instead she should wear this dress and not wear this dress and not wear, I mean lust is going to happen either which way, but you don't go out there recognizing, you'll realize, since I don't want to cause this, I'm going to err on this side and do this. That's what God intends for us to do, is to have the right purpose. Not a group of men to come and tell you, "You can listen to this, but you can't listen to this. You can wear this, but you can't wear this." And a lot of it is usually very distorted, in that. Because unfortunately, this is why a lot of people in the past, because we allow men to do this, who would get sexually assaulted, the first thing the judge would ask them is, "What were you wearing?" I don't care if they were naked. That was wrong. That's a sin. Do you understand that? But we have allowed man to restructure it in a way of, "Oh, we're so fragile." And we usually just put it on women because usually when it talks about modesty, it is talking about women. Because there is men are more men, the Bible's showing men are more visual. And that's why when we teach it is to and where it says teach the younger women, there's a teaching with that. But when the men, it says be an example to. So the Bible implies and he shows that. But with that said, we understand our spot. We understand what we're doing. Do I want to distract them with how I look? Because you can be completely dressed well, but put on a nice red suit because you want everybody to say, "Man, that man is sharp." And I'm too busy looking at the person being sharp or the woman being beautiful. And the guy's talking about her heels that he, I mean, her open up heels, but he said nothing about her being a pastor.
Because he doesn't have a problem with that.
He doesn't have a problem.
Exactly.
Right. So he gives you this story about, where that comes from, and that's what's disturbing. A good discussion would have been, but once again, we accept what we accept and we add on what we add. But this happens with a lot of stuff. If you look at a lot of things that the mainstream Christian community has, we usually have problems on something that traditionally somebody gave, or as the Bible calls it, fine sounding arguments, which give the image of wisdom. But he says, but they're worthless. And you see more people following those worthless things and missing on the godly things. You know what I mean? Change care. So it was good. I don't know. Like I said, even in with that discussion, you just go, okay. Unless he really wanted to have a real discussion, because
No, he
that
doesn't.
question would come up. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's when you go, okay,
No,
thank
he
you.
thinks he's right. You know, he thinks he's, you know, so smart and this, that, and the other. So he's grounded in.
Yeah. And there's a lot of us that have those thoughts and we won't budge. And it's going to be to our demise. We just read that in here about a fool who I'm wise, so I know I'm right. You know what I mean? They have that mindset. And we need to look at them instead of being just fools. We want to minister to them and be careful not to be influenced by them. But no, it's a great question because I bet you I'll ask anybody what's right or wrong and where's your answer? What makes that wrong? Because we had the same discussion on music where somebody was listening to something and he can't listen to this, but you can listen to this. I'm like, aren't they both worldly? Tell me what the difference is. Well, this one's mean spirited and this one's this spirited and this one's this. I was like, so that's just happy and still telling you how to live sinfully. Explain to me how that makes it better. Oh, they're just playing this one over here. And they were trying to humanly restructure it to fit their answer instead of going, the Bible says. Instead of saying, oh, both of those are demonic and we were surrounded by it, so we better be careful. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank
Yep.
you.
Yep. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, everyone, for your questions. Make sure you go through this, study it. Very important stuff as the Bible, as the word is. This is going to be a special sermon coming up due to a bunch of questions I've gotten on something on Saturday. So I hope if you don't get the chance to tune in, you make sure you go through it. It's something that somebody put into a play of actually putting things into practice. So I'm hoping we get a lot of discussion out of it afterwards. But it's an important one because of how these people, and it was multiple people, different people who just brought up these subjects on how it wants to be answered. And it's very interesting. But as Christians, how do we deal with it? So I hope you're blessed by it. And please let me know either which way, how you feel about it and how what it does, and if something's missed. But stay tuned for that. All right. So we're going to go ahead and pray out. And thank you all. And hope you have a blessed night. Let's pray. Heavenly, Heavenly, most gracious Father, thank you so much, dear Lord, for your word. Your clarity, help us to remove one of the most dangerous things to us, which is us. We want to always depend and trust in you, dear Lord. We ask for your continual guidance, your wisdom in all things, dear God. We want to keep focused on you and walking in your ways. We know it's very easy for us to be influenced by how we feel, what we see, all the senses. So help us to keep deep in our faith that everything we do is meant by that, dear Lord. We want to make sure we're ministering to others, not judging. We want to make sure we're there for one another in you and not to the flesh, dear Lord. So as we leave out here today, we ask you to bless all the birthdays that I missed. In any case, dear God, thank you so much for blessing us with them, another year in our lives. And we ask you to continue to bless their health, their walk. Let them know in all that they do, dear Lord, that their lives are a ministry, and they want to make sure they're heading on the path of well done in you. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we asked in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say. Amen.
Amen.
Love you,
Thank you.
family.
Love you
Amen.
too.
Yep.
All
Have a good
right.
night.